It is customary to pay the travel expenses for a visiting speaker. And for the record, it is exactly 162 steps from my front door to this pulpit. In 1998, my father passed away, and in the next few days, many of you brought food to our house. I went home the second or third day, and Judy said, "Phyllis brought you a banana pudding." I immediately that afternoon sat down and wrote Phyllis Culver a thank you note. 2 days later, I went home from the office, and Judy said, "Whom did you think sent you that banana pudding?" And I said, "Phyllis Culver." She said, "No, it was Phyllis Hester. Phyllis Culver has called and asked if you wanted her to send that thank you note back." I don't easily get outdone, so I called Phyllis Culver and said, "If you don't mind, just keep that thank you note. And if you ever decide to make me a banana pudding, I won't have to send you a note." She brought me a banana pudding tonight. 17 years later. And Phyllis, I am not going to send a note. I say that to say this: a mere thank you is insufficient for all that you have done for me and meant to me down through the years. October the 17th, 1987, Judy and I moved across the street. And for almost 18 years, we're involved in the work here, and you probably do not realize this, but you invested well over $1 million over those 18 years in my work. You allowed me to conduct 257 gospel meetings during that time, 261 really, 257 funerals. Come the end of this month, I have been gone from the work here 10 years. 17th of this month, Judy's been gone 5. I start a meeting next Sunday at Salem near Hohenwald, and that will be number 200 since I left the work here. I've conducted 117 funerals in those 10 years, and 65 of those have been members or former members of the church here. And this may sound a bit unusual, but I consider that to be one of the greatest compliments that you could give to me, to allow me to be involved with you, especially in those more difficult times of life. During the 18 years we were here, we baptized over 360 people. It is impossible for me to tell you how much I appreciate the encouragement, the support, and the friendship that you have given to me. As I preach the Word of God, I try to emphasize two things: communication and motivation. I share with you two stories that will bring a chuckle that will point out those two ideas. Two fellows were in the cattle business. One gave the other $1,000 and said, "Go out to Texas and buy us a new bull. When you find him, send me a telegram and I'll bring the cattle trailer and get you and the animal." He found the bull but had to pay $999, had only $1 left. He went in to send the telegram. The lady said, "You can't send but one word for $1. He thought and thought. "Oh," he said, "send the word comfortable." She said, "Comfortable?" "Yeah," he said, "my buddy back home's a slow reader, and when he reads that, he'll read 'Come for thee, bull.'" Now, that's about how simple I try to be in presenting God's Word. And then there's motivation. Lady was the headmistress of an all-girls school, teenage girl. She had a problem. They were putting on their lipstick and going in the restroom and blotting it against the mirror. She called them in and said, "Don't do that. It's extra work for the janitor." The next day, the same thing. She asked them again, to no avail. Third day, she called a meeting of all the girls in the restroom and said, "I want you to see what this janitor has to do to clean that mirror." He came in, dipped his mop in the commode, and cleaned the mirror. And she never had any more trouble with lipstick. There is a way to get your point across. I don't know why you assigned me the subject you did unless it's because of my friends living in the senior years. You suggested 2 Corinthians 4:16 as a text, and that text certainly fits the idea when it says that we do not faint. And although the outward nature is perishing or wasting away day by day, the inner man, inner nature, is renewed day by day. I want to think with you tonight by using about 5 or 6 pairs of 2 words, either contrasting or comparing them, to talk about living in the senior years. First, consider the word exist or the word live. There are far too many people, for that matter at any age, but especially in the older years, who are doing nothing except exist, and they forget to live. There are some who even talk earlier about, I can't wait until I'm 65 or 6 or 7, as the case may be now. When I get to that point, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to take it easy. Folks, that's nothing except existing. God's Word places emphasis upon the idea of living. John 10:10, Jesus came to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. That may include eternal life, but I'm persuaded that the emphasis is on life while we are here. And He wants us to have that abundant life in our senior years just as much as He does in our younger years. Present your bodies not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse 1. Does that not apply to us as we get older? He talks about that which is written to give us faith in Jesus Christ, and through Him we might have life. John 20, 30, and 31. For the Christian, there is life every day, no matter what the age is. After telling us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in Titus 2, 11, and 12, He said we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's in the subject of God's grace that allows this to take place. But notice He said we should live, not just exist. And my favorite verse on this subject is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Notice, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. 5 times in that one verse He mentions life or live. Senior members, we should not just exist. There is every reason for us to live. The next 2 words. Get or give. Do you live like old MacDonald's wife with a gimme, gimme here and a gimme, gimme there, gimme there, gimme everywhere? Or do you live looking for opportunities to ask the question, may I help? Which is it? Are you ready to get to the senior years and say, Uncle Sam, send me a check? Children, take care of me. I want all of my needs met. I've paid my dues. I've done all these things for you. Therefore, I want it all coming in my direction. At any point in life, and especially in the senior years, to live with the attitude of what can I get instead of what can I give is to be a failure in life. Being faithful as a steward, 1 Corinthians 4:2, is just as important for the older person as the younger person. And it is certainly time for us to be sheep and not goats, as Matthew 25 describes, in visiting the sick and those in prison, feeding the hungry, giving clothing to the naked, and you know the rest of the story. Are you living to give, or are you living to get? In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul talks a lot about what's being given to take care of the work of the church. But in verse 5 of the 8th chapter, he, I think, hits one of the key points when he says, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Whether it's an older age, or for those of you that are a bit younger, it makes a difference whether you live to get or whether you live to give. Then consider these words, past and future. Forgetting those things that are behind, past, reaching forth to those things that are before, future, I press, present, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Too many senior members are willing to live on the accomplishments of the past. I have enough sermon outlines that I could preach the rest of my life and never make another one. I think I know enough scriptures that I could quote for the rest of my preaching career and never learn another one. I believe that I could preach the rest of my life and never study another time, but when I do, I will become stale and nobody will be interested in listening. And whatever area of life you are living, whatever your career has been or continues to be, the same principle is true. We cannot live on past accomplishments. We need to pay attention to what's happening today. We have today. And we need to do something about it. Pay attention to your body. Get the exercise. Eat right. Get as much sleep as you need. It still is true. You are still human, or at least lean in that direction, even though you're a senior member. Take care of your mind. Know the current events. How are you going to talk to the younger generation if you don't know what's happening today? We need to quit living in the past. Let's learn from the past. But we need to realize that there is a future. And we need to realize that today is the next day of that future. And whatever your age is, take advantage of today to make it worthwhile so that the future will be even brighter. Then there's the word old and the word older. From the day I was born, I have been facing death. My life has been a life of going in that direction. All of us are closer there than we were yesterday, than we were last week. There is nothing I can do about getting older. But there is something I can do about getting old. And there is a difference. Let me give you an idea. How many of you in the audience tonight are 65 or above? Let me see your hand. I hope every last one of you lives to be 100. And I get to speak at your funeral. We do not have to get old. At the same time that we must get older, we need to learn to act our age. Oh, it's amusing to see a woman who's 70 years old trying to act and dress like a 17-year-old, or a man for that matter. We need to learn to act our age, but we need to learn to be active at whatever age we are. It is said of Moses just before he died when he was 120 that his eye was not dim and his natural forces had not abated. Caleb said at 85, I'm just as strong as I was at 40. Now, I realize there are some changes. We may not be able to play the sports to the same degree that we used to, or do a lot of things like we formerly did. But folks, it's time that we realize that there is a difference between getting older and getting old. Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made, Robert Browning said. And I believe that each one of us in our senior years must take that attitude. And attitude determines altitude. The attitude that you take will determine how high or how low you go in life. And then consider older and younger. And when I mention this, I mean older people and younger people. The future of the church is dependent on the balance between those two. We need the wisdom and experience of senior members combined with the enthusiasm of younger members in order to accomplish the Lord's work. There is a lot being said about the generation gap and the millennials. We need to think about this and consider this. First, I would suggest that those of us that are older, or all of us for that matter, have some older heroes. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in Midian, and then he used 40 years to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. When Caleb said, I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago, in the next verse he says, give me the mountain. I can climb it. I can take it. I'm not afraid of the challenge, and that's the theme. I'm not afraid of the challenge that is before me. Abraham was 100 approximately, Sarah 90 when Isaac was born. Look at the impact that that had upon the world. Lois is mentioned as an older grandmother having the same kind of influence that the younger mother Eunice had on Timothy. We need to think of John, who probably was around 100 when he was writing the book of Revelation, and Paul, who may have been nearing that when he said, I'm ready to be offered, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, and I've fought a good fight. We need to have older heroes. And even in our own midst, we can think back to Laura Laycook and Allie Hires, and sitting in our midst tonight, Claude Gardner. Some of you may remember the morning that we had ice and snow on the ground when I made the announcement in the other auditorium that if any of you younger folks have difficulty getting here, call Miss Allie Hires and she'll come by and get you. She was 90-something at the time. But at the same time that we have those older heroes, we need to put the younger generation in proper focus and appreciate them for what they are and what they mean to the Lord's work. We need to be sure that we set the right example before them so that with Paul we can say, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. We need to admonish them as Paul did the younger man Timothy. Be an example of the believers in your youth. And he mentioned so many ways that he could do that. Timothy may have been 40 years old or so at that time. Paul on two occasions, one referred to Timothy as his son in the faith and on another to Titus as his son. Paul, an older man, appreciated these younger men for what they could do. We need to have that same kind of attitude toward younger people today and realize that they have their part to play. We need to learn to listen to them. And by the way, they need to learn to listen to senior members. We need to have a better understanding of the needs and the challenges at each point in life. We need to have a balance between the senior members and the younger members. And I think as we talk about that, we may have forgotten the most important point. I sat back during the open forum in February and heard for 2 days a lot of discussion about our relationship between older people and the millennials. I heard several older people speak and talk about what's needed from their viewpoint. I heard several younger people speak and talk about what's needed from their viewpoint. And I sat there and wished somebody would stop and think what's needed from God's standpoint. When we talk about the dress that may be different, we have our different attitudes. All of us should appreciate the importance of modesty and decency. When we think about whether we use a certain type song or another type song, do we not need to stop and ask, are they scriptural and do they help us to worship God more than whether it's a song used by young people or a song used by older people? I submit to you that it's only when we let God become the fulcrum of that balance that we will be able to accomplish what we need to in the work of the church. Older, yes. Younger, yes. All of us. Balanced on the Word of God, serving Him. Even in the overall theme, there are two words. Challenges. Promises. We have those challenges to be perfect or complete in God. That's about as great a challenge as you can have. We have the challenge to take the gospel to the whole world, to every creature. How much could you want more for a greater challenge? But we have those promises where He said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, I will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will provide a way of escape. And in Romans 8:28, all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord. Promises go with the challenges. Yes, we need to think about whether we exist or whether we live, whether we get or whether we give. We need to think about whether it's going to be standing on the past or looking forward to the future, whether we'll get older or whether we'll really get old. We need to think about the heroes of older people and the value of younger people. We need to think about the promises and we need to think about the challenges. But concentrate on these two words last. That's the word listen and the word think. Listen to God and what He says. Listen to others and take that into consideration. Listen to God when He says, as a penitent believer, you must be baptized for the remission of sins. Listen to God when He says, as an erring Christian, you repent and confess and pray to God for forgiveness, and He's promised that forgiveness. And then think. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it's the issues of life. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think. Senior members, think about what it means to get older without getting old. What it means to meet those challenges. What it means to continue to give ourselves until our dying day. Think what it means to be a Christian. And if you really, really think it through, you'll want to be a Christian, a faithful Christian, in whatever year you're living today. And if you're not, come as together we stand and sing.